Awesome. Welcome, everyone, to the Late Night Restaurant Show. You know what? Dominic is not off sick. He's at a hockey game in Tampa. Yeah. That's what your hosts are not supposed to do, is go to a hockey game. Oh, and then he likes my stuff on LinkedIn at the same time. I hope the game is good, Dominic, and I hope you're enjoying. You're probably listening to this show now in Tampa, and you're missing a great guest. I have been batting so many home runs here. I think that's how you say it. With the most incredible people that we've had on our late night restaurant show. And tonight is, once again, I hit a home run here, Dominic, and you're missing out. Sorry, buddy. We have an incredible guest on our show tonight. I'm going to invite him into the show here right after we do our intro. But for everyone that's watching us, just a reminder, this is not a podcast. Not at all. You may find it with the other podcast. Dominic might be searching for other podcasts right now while he's watching the hockey game, but he'll stumble across ours. Ours is on those channels, but we call it not a podcast. The other thing tonight, you know what? Don't believe everything that I say, but believe what our experts are. That's our disclaimer. You know what? We do not have an opinion that rubs against our sponsors and our partners that are a part of our shows. They're much smarter than we are. We're just goofballs having a good time. Now, on that tonight, we have David Hopkins here, the president of the 15 Group. You want to know the best? You got the best. This is the best group there is on consulting with your business, your restaurant, your hotel, anything in the hospitality industry. This guy's the best. And we have him on the show tonight. So before we get started with David, we are going to move over here and we're going to get started with our fancy dancy little intro here, if I can find it. And we'll be right back after this. Here we go. There you go. Welcome, David.
Yeah, thanks for having me here. I feel badly for Dominic. It sounds like he's missing out based on that intro.
You know what? I this is the best part. When he doesn't show up and he's watching us, because I know he is at this hockey game, and he's missing out. And Dominic's always, he always makes the show long anyway, so don't worry. But I miss my co-host because he's always got some killer questions. But I just want to thank you also for tonight and to be able to join us on our late night restaurant show. And also, we call this not a podcast for many reasons. But we just don't believe that we're as good as other podcasts out there. We're just a show. We just have some fun. So thank you so much, David.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to be on, thrilled to be chatting it up with you again. I know last time I was chatting with you, we had a blast. So yeah, it's great.
Yeah, you know what? We can talk, I think, for weeks straight about our industry and what we're doing in this. And you are one of the, do you get that title all the time? You are the best when it comes to, because that's what I hear. That's when people come up to me, say, have you, David's the best. Do you get that all the time?
We promote it all the time internally, but I think that's for our own benefit. No, but we do. You know what? We've worked with more than 1,000 restaurants, and we have a ton of thrilled customers. So, you know, I think we're pretty good. Yeah, I think we're pretty good.
You're pretty good. You're the best. And that's all I hear. You've created legendary brands, legendary restaurants out there. And there's so many questions I have for tonight, David. And really, our industry right now, from what I'm seeing out there working with restaurants and meeting with different chefs and different owners, it is changing. Is that right? Is what you're seeing? It's changing at like speed maybe you haven't seen in the past?
Yeah. You know what? Yes and no. I mean, a lot of things are changing, a lot of dynamics we've had to deal with over the last few years and a lot going on right now, but we still, you know, we still fundamentally find that it's all about giving a great guest experience to guests and being fiscally responsible. It's funny how so much has changed, but the fundamentals are really still the same, right? We're delivering exceptional hospitality to our guests and trying to turn that into a little bit of profit, right?
Yeah, you know, I've broken the phrase today. I was on a show we did last week. I've kept this phrase around, we need to be simpler and smarter this year. So that's my new way of saying back to basics. We have to be simpler and smarter.
You know what? It's funny you say that. Like, we talk about back to basics because there's so much noise right now as well in the industry. There's you know, tons of tech. I know you and I were chatting earlier about the shows this year. We just had the RC show last week, the NRA show coming up, and the tech pavilions keep getting bigger and bigger, and there's so much information. But it's like, let's get back to the basics, right? Like, let's just deliver exceptional guest experience, and let's just control the dollars and cents and make money.
Do you think that based on what restaurateurs are doing right now with increasing pricing and having to deal with labor issues, that a lot of them are trying to say that, like, they're trying to fluff it up or trying to increase the value by saying that, like, we're changing everything else or trying new tactics and all these different concepts are coming out? But are they just doing that because they're trying to increase the value of what guests are going towards?
Like, what do you mean? You mean coming out with new things and new angles and new?
Yeah.
There's definitely a bit of that. I mean, there's definitely some, I mean, I don't want to say gimmicky stuff out there, but there's stuff to try and create a value perception. That's probably not fundamentally real, but those will be short lived successes, right? You know, if you're creating exceptional guest experience, it comes around the whole package. It comes around proper staff training, making sure you're executing on all levels, making sure you're focused on the guest and what their experience. Like, there's and that's back to the basics again. But, you know, it's funny we say back to the basics, but unfortunately, inherently in the restaurant industry, we've never done the basics well. Like, we just
well, that was my next question. How many restaurants are really even doing the basics?
No, this is the opportunity. And this is, honestly, this is why I started the 15 group years and years ago. But inherent, like, we don't do the basics well. We don't, you know, at one point with the 15 group, we did a guest experience survey and found out that only, I think it was 8% of guests would rate their last restaurant experience a 10 out of 10. Only 8%, and only, I think it was 16%, or maybe it was 20% would rate it a 9 or 10 out of 10. So basically 1/5 of restaurant experiences were a 9 or 10 out of 10 experience. And like, that's fundamentally, we like, that's what being successful is all about. So, so no, we've never really done the basics well. And in fairness to restaurant operators, it's because restaurants are complicated things. Doing the basics is actually challenging, and you have to be really structured and disciplined. And, you know, it's not as easy as so many other, what I would call small businesses out there. It's a very complicated small business. So, doing the basics is actually takes a lot of work and a lot of hard effort and a lot of skill. So
how long would you say, David, on average, and I know it's going to vary from different restaurant, but like for you to go into a restaurant and they say, we need help. What's this look like? How long until you can turn that restaurant around in your team? How long does it take?
It depends.
It's going to be different. What's on average? On average.
Depends on how much help, but I would say 3 to 5 months.
Okay. That's not bad. That's not bad at all.
Well, yeah. Now that's a lot of changing it around and getting it set up for success. But a lot of it will depend too. You know, we do a lot of work on re-engineering menus, making them more profitable, making the whole profit model make sense. We'll do menu development. You know, so certain restaurants we can literally go into, and in 12 weeks, we can make them a ton more profit by fixing all kinds
really?
Of, yeah, absolutely. We've done that time and time again. But if they're not successful because they've really damaged the guest experience. Mm-hmm. So if they've been operating for 3 years and they've been operating at a 6 out of 10 or a 5 out of 10 level, we can't just fix it and all of a sudden everybody comes back, right? I mean, when you take a 5 out of 10 and you make it a 10 out of 10, it takes a while to rebuild that confidence in the guest and reestablish that guest community. So that can be a lot more challenging and take a lot more time. But certainly, you know, a lot of restaurants, when we go in and just parachute in and fix the profitability model, we can add a ton in 10 to 12 weeks.
What's the operators feel like when you come in and you're turning things around, even that 3 to 5 month time frame? What do you see with operators? Like, are they getting inspired again? Are they like, oh, holy, I should have done this from the beginning? Like, what's it like from working with the operator?
Yeah, a bit of both. I mean, we're working with one client right now who's been around for a long time, and you know, they—I forget their exact words—but they basically said, "I wish we hired you in 2017" or something like that. So there's a bit of that, but they definitely get excited about it again. I mean, there's a lot of, when we go into a restaurant, a lot of the times they're making some money, sometimes they're not making money, but there's a lot of frustration, right? When you're spinning your wheels and you don't feel like you're getting anywhere, that's really frustrating. So when we can come in and basically show the path and have a roadmap and get to the point where they actually see the fruits of their effort in that, then yeah, people can get pretty jazzed about it, which is exciting for us too. I mean, we love to work with a client, see them get engaged in it, see the success of making a difference. Yeah, it's very rewarding. But I will say the other thing though is, you know, we can do a lot of great work and instantly make a lot of restaurants more money, but also we're not with you forever. I mean, we can be, but that gets pretty expensive. Restaurateurs need to take what we put in place and run with it, right? I won't say it hasn't happened that we've gone in and done a lot of great work for a restaurant and come back a year later and it's right back to where it was before we came in. Right. I mean, there's work that needs to be done on an ongoing basis.
How much is it the culture, David, that changes it? Because you work on the culture as well, not just the overall operational aspects of it, but how much is it the culture?
Culture is a big piece of it. And we try and put in place tools and stuff to help support a culture that's going to be successful. Often we talk about two things, a culture of exceptional guest experience and a culture of fiscal responsibility. And those two things, exceptional guest experience will drive revenue, because if you're knocking it out of the park, delivering a 10 out of 10 experience all the time, you'll be busy, trust me. And if you have a culture of fiscal responsibility, you'll turn all that hard-earned revenue into profit. And those are often hard things for people to maintain in an organization, right? And people can tell, you can tell restaurants that have a culture of exceptional guest experience, because you just feel it when you're in there. Like the service you get and the engagement you get from the team, and you watch the staff move. Unfortunately, you know, my wife hates it when we go to restaurants. She's over it now. We've been married for a long time, but I'm just looking at everything going on. But when you see the team and you can tell a team that's just completely focused on elevating the guest experience compared to a team that's, you know, largely wondering what they're going to do after work that night, who's having the next party. Oh, how did my bets do on sports line? Yeah, like, aren't engaged in the guest experience, right? So there's a difference when that culture exists, for sure.
Well, I find that in the industry that we don't really train restaurateurs about that exceptional guest experience as it changes and shifts the generations. A lot of them are just, you know, this is the way we've had it. And I'm sure you heard that line forever. We've always done it this way.
Yeah. The interesting thing about guest experience, and I know that, you know, we put out a book a year ago. I wrote a book and put it out. And there's a section where I talk about this. And I truly believe that the challenge that restaurateurs have is that most of us aren't 10 out of 10 guest experience people. And I use the analogy in my book between my wife and I, because my wife is a 10 out of 10 guest experience person, and I am not, right? Okay. I am if you come to my house, Jay, and I invite you into my house, you'll probably have to get your own beer out of the fridge. You may or may not get offered a glass, because that's just not the way, that's not the way that I work. Like, it'll be good. You'll enjoy yourself, but it's not a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Whereas if you come to the house and my wife greets you, like, you're going to feel like you've just walked into a 5-star hotel. And I think the challenge restaurateurs have is most of us are like me. Most of us are a 7, an 8, maybe a 9, but most of us aren't like the 10 out of 10. So if we're going to have a restaurant, if I own a restaurant that's going to operate as a 10 out of 10, I need all kinds of tools to help me build that culture, because that's just not the way I am in general, right?
Is the tools hard? Like, is it hard, David, at the end of it, when you get in there and you're looking at increasing that the experience that they're giving their guest? Are they hard to implement? Like, is it hard to get people on board, their staff and their managers?
No, you know, it's hard to get, it does need to come from the top down. You need the owner.
Oh, okay. The owner.
You need the general manager buy-in, but we find the teams, the management teams and the staff teams actually love to have that engagement because inherently, like, we all want to do our job well. Like, we want to succeed in whatever we do, whether it's our job, whether it's life, whether it's our friends, our family, we want to succeed. So if we're given the opportunity and the training and the tools to do better, like, we find teams actually embrace that and love that, right? So yeah, I mean, teams buy in, but we got to get it's still got to come from the top down.
I want to shift a little bit here. I want to talk about marketing right now, because I'm getting a lot of requests right now on marketing, and I have a feeling I know what you're going to say around marketing. I got this feeling. But what is happening right now in the marketing world of us marketing our businesses? What is going on, David?
Well, I don't know if you know what I'm going to say. Probably, because we've probably chatted about it before. But I've never been a huge fan of marketing.
Okay, this is
awesome. So you didn't know what I was going
to
say?
No, I didn't know. I was going to say you're going to tell me to go back to basics. So it's kind of the same.
Well, yeah, kind of the same thing. But I can tell you, I've got a number of clients that are some of the top restaurants in Canada, and they do zero marketing. But you know what they do?
You just broke the mold, David. You just nuked everything.
No, but you know what they do? They deliver a 10 out of 10 guest experience every single time somebody walks in the door. Because the number one marketing tool for restaurants is still word of mouth. And I can tell you, I don't know about you, and maybe it's changing. And before people start saying, no, you're wrong. Social media, I believe hugely in social media, because to me, that's just an extension of word of mouth advertising.
Okay, there we go.
Not like putting a billboard up on a whatever. Like, social media is word of mouth advertising. Okay. But at the end of the day, I don't know about you, but I can tell you the last probably 6 new restaurants I tried weren't because I saw an ad anywhere. They weren't because of anything other than that somebody told me this restaurant's awesome, I should go check it out. So somebody had a 10 out of 10 experience at a restaurant, and then they went and told all their friends, coworkers about it, people like me. And then I said, oh, we got to try that restaurant. Somebody told me about it. And then when I go to that restaurant, if I have a 10 out of 10 guest experience, guess what? I'm telling a whole bunch of people, and I'm going to go back because it was so good. I still fundamentally believe, you know, there is nothing worse. And people come to us all the time wanting marketing. And there's absolutely nothing worse than spending a ton of money on marketing if you're delivering a 6 out of 10 experience.
Because
people are just coming in to be disappointed and leave, and like, you've just blown your money. Right.
Because marketing isn't cheap. Marketing it's a lot of money. And I love the fact that you start, like you said, with the fundamentals, and the foundation of our businesses is around that guest experience, which I've heard you speak many times about. And I think I love that, David. I love it, because I get a lot of asks around that whole, like, what's that next strategy, or what's that next marketing tactic? And I think the more that we can focus on what those experiences are, like you said, I love the fact of social. I'm a big believer in social media when it's UGC, user generated content from people posting about, like, nothing is worse. And I love every restaurant. Everyone knows that, but please, can we stop with the pictures of you offering your food out in the pictures? Do you know those ones, David, where it's like, you're showing, you're like, it's almost like this desperate plea to come in, please. like we actually have burgers. Like I'd rather a customer of yours do that and do a video and talk about it opposed to this, please come in, you know, like it's not selling it. Right. And I know the intent is there to have, to get on social, and we know social is let's say it's almost like it's almost a maze in a way of uncertainty of what you do and what you get out of it. It can also be a time suck, a money suck, all these things that can suck all this energy away for a little return if done wrong. Right. But I love the fact that you work on that.
Yeah. And I don't want to, you know, there are some marketing things you can do in the world of social media, and you can drive traffic to your business. And I don't want to knock it completely, because I think there is merit to marketing, especially more now with the whole social media thing than there was 20 years ago. But the fundamental is still the same, that, you know what, if you're delivering a 10 out of 10 guest experience to every guest that walks in the door, you'll be busy. Like it's
that simple.
Now, the other thing too is we believe in marketing as well when we launch a restaurant, because then you got to get the fire going, right? It's like building a fire. You got to throw some gasoline on to get it going. But then once it's going, as long as you've got you built a good fire to begin with, it'll burn.
Now, David, are we going to see, okay, I got a question. I want to get into that because that's a great topic there on new restaurants. Are we seeing more and more restaurants come in, or is it stalling because of the challenges that everyone faces right now in the industry? Or are we still seeing the growth in the industry when it comes to new restaurants?
I think we're still seeing the growth. I mean, you know, half of our business is helping create and launch new concepts for people that want them, or for whoever needs one. And our phone's still ringing pretty regularly of people wanting to open restaurants, which is interesting, because I thought it was going to slow down a bit coming out of, you know, what the industry went through over the last little while. And no, people still seem keen on opening restaurants, which is great.
That is great. We didn't scare them. We didn't scare them.
No.
Okay.
We need some more staff to work in the restaurants, but
now is that David, that's my another list on my list here. Questions for you was around labor. Now and maybe I'm wrong with you on this. Maybe you're different on this, but that's okay. I believe we don't really have a problem. I think we have a problem attracting people into the industry to work in our places, because I think that we scared them not only through the pandemic, but we don't really necessarily give them maybe the opportunity to stretch their legs out in the industry as maybe, you know, they can when they go and make more money doing something online nowadays, or working in, you know, maybe less stressed environments. I think we need to do a better job of sharing how awesome it is to work in this industry. What's your take on the whole labor issue right now?
I mean, it definitely, obviously a year ago was a big, big challenge. We definitely were, we were short staffed all over the place. it's way better now. The industry in Canada keeps getting better and better in terms of attracting people as a career. I don't think we're anywhere near where the US is, but you know, I keep dating myself because I keep referring to 20 or 25, 30 years ago, but 25 years ago, there was not much in Canada in terms of hospitality schools. I mean, there were.
There wasn't many. You're right, though. Yeah. There wasn't many.
Whereas now, there are quite a lot, and there are quite a lot of people that can go into them and want to pursue a career in hospitality. And and I think that's great, because 25, 30 years ago, when there was nothing like that in Canada, in the U.S., I mean, hospitality was a career. Like, there were career things in that space. So I think it's getting better. I think it's getting better. I definitely know we definitely pay people better than we did 25, 30 years ago. So people can make it a career and make a living out of it, which is great. I think it's all headed in the right direction. And I think, you know, it's definitely rebounded. Staffing is still a challenge, but it's definitely not like it was a year and a half ago. For sure.
Now, when we say staffing challenges in those areas, is it different levels? Like, are we talking front of the house or back house, or is it all parts of the restaurant?
I would say it's all parts to a large degree. House was certainly more challenging. I think largely because front of house, I mean, you know, a front of house, like a server at a great restaurant can still, has always made and can still make like a killer pay, right? So, but back of house certainly was challenging, and management was challenging too, right?
Because,
you know, like, let's face it. And again, it's better now than it was, but, even just pre-COVID, like, you know, restaurant managers weren't getting paid a great amount, and they were working 60-hour weeks, and it was stressful, and it's not an easy go. And, you know, all of a sudden, I think COVID kind of made people go, yeah, I don't want to work in this industry anymore, and I can get into something else, right? So, but again, I think that's gotten better as well. I mean, I know the salaries that are being paid now in the industry for management-level positions are like night and day compared to what they were 8-10 years ago.
We have a lot of people listening to us today, tonight on our LinkedIn channel. And if you have any questions for David, if it's okay, David, they can ask you a question.
Yeah, no, no tricky ones though. Just
no tricky ones.
Yeah.
No, you'll get a 7 out of 10. So, but please send them in if you have a question for David tonight. But I do find I have a couple of questions here, David, but I definitely want to ask you, what is the rest of 2020? Because I gotta tell you something. I got a couple of people talking about 2025 right now to me. Is we're anticipating 2025 to be a good year in our industry. And I'm like, I don't even know if we're halfway done yet, but I think we have a lot of left in 24 here. What does the rest of 2024 look like in our industry from your perspective, David?
Wow. I said no tricky ones, and that's what you throw that one right in.
Come on, it must have been the coffee. Well, you know, the problem is I don't have Dominic here to ask better questions.
The you know, I think the challenge is gonna be I'll be honest, I don't have a clue really. And I think it's because it really depends a lot on where the economy goes. You know, I was on an inflation panel last week at the RC show, and I think I got asked a similar question. I think I got asked, or the panel got asked, you know, where do we see it going? And I bowed out of that question because I'm like, I have no idea. I mean, if the economy doesn't tailspin and interest rates come down and we get some more disposable income flowing and whatever, then I think it's a good thing. If we stagnate right now and people stop spending money, because there's no doubt from what we're hearing and seeing and what have you, people don't have the money to spend on restaurants right now. People are starting to tighten up. They're starting to trade down. They're not going to the high-end restaurants. They're going down to the casual restaurants, which is great for the casual restaurants. Yeah. But there's less, people are protecting their money a little more, and it really depends where the economy goes as to how restaurants are going to pan out in my mind over the next little bit.
Is there any fear of grocery stores coming at us like they did in 08 towards our industry and starting to advertise how less money it is to cook at home? Do you think that will come around, David? Like, they've been quiet because they got a bad rap.
Yeah.
They got a bad rap lately, so they've been kind of no, we don't want to say anything.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just a true hospitality person at heart, even though I'm a 7 or 8 out of 10 and not the full 10 out of 10. But I still like, fundamentally, we like to go out and we like to socialize. Like, let's face it, the restaurant experience is not about eating a meal, right? I mean, it is, but that's not what people do it for. It's a whole different thing. So, you know, obviously if interest rates stay high and if we go in a bit of a tailspin, yeah, people are going to cook in more. They can't afford to eat out as much and what have you. But if people can afford to go out and spend time with family and friends and whatever outside of the home environment and not have to cook, they will, as long as they can afford it, right?
So, David, I have a couple of last here questions, and I want to thank you again for spending the time tonight with us. And I don't know if do you get this question maybe a million times a year? If you could open your own restaurant, David, what would that be? What would that be?
Whew, I don't get that question a lot.
You've been asked it though.
In terms of what I would do, I don't know what the concept would be, but it would definitely be upscale casual.
Okay, upscale casual. Okay. Upscale
casual, probably about 3,700 square feet, 120 seats-ish.
Ooh, okay. Okay, so yeah. Not super small, but nice size.
Yeah, probably, okay. Unless I was in a really killer, kick-ass office tower neighborhood, it would probably not be open lunch. It would probably be open Tuesday to Saturday nights only.
Okay. Keep going, because let's go down that path, because I got to work with a client on Wednesday around the same thing. All right. Keep going.
Tuesday, Saturday. About 120 seats. Nice bar. Yep. 15, 18 seat bar. Upscale casual. Yeah, I'm not sure what the concept would be, but that would be my kind of sweet spot right now.
Any food ideas? Like what you would go with the concept on the food?
No ideas.
No ideas? Or, anything you would stay away from?
What's that?
Anything you would stay away from?
Steakhouse? I would stay away from, nothing I would stay away from necessarily. But keep in mind, in our company, right, fortunately, I've got a whole team of professionals behind me. I'm not the food guy. Like, I'm not. When you come to the 15 group and you want an awesome concept developed and you say, hey, David, I need an awesome concept developed, I'm not the guy doing that. I've got a guy who's awesome. His name's Alex Fraser. Really? He's our concept development wizard. I've got a couple chef consultants that help develop out the concepts, my branding team. So if you want an awesome concept developed, you won't see me at all. That's not me.
So I want to go back into that because I find that fascinating, because we get a lot of questions around concepts and ideas. Where does he get all the ideas from? Where does it come from? Is it just one of those things that just comes naturally to him?
To who? Alex, our VP, the guy who runs up our concept development? He's a 10 out of 10 food and beverage concept person. Like, that's his expertise. And, you know, we all have our strengths. Mine is on analytics and profit maximization. So if you want me to look at your restaurant and tell you very quickly where the opportunities are, how to re-engineer your menu to make more money, where you're missing the boat on your P&L and how to tweak that, like I can knock that out of the park. Alex probably can't as much. That's not his thing. But when it comes to concepts, like when I love it. If I'm going to, I don't know, pick somewhere. If I'm going to New Orleans for the weekend with my wife, and I want to know what restaurants to go to, I text Alex because he'll know the top five restaurants to go to in New Orleans.
Serious?
Oh, yeah. He won't even have to look them up. Like he spends his time immersing himself on what's going on in the food and beverage scene, especially in the U.S., because a lot of what we see, well, U.S. and Europe too, but, you know, a lot of what we see in terms of concept evolution comes out of the U.S. So
it comes up into Canada, right?
About it, and that's what he loves doing, and that's why he's great at it, right?
Wow. You must be able to take a restaurant. First of all, we got to do a dinner together because I'd love to have dinner. You should sell tickets to have dinner with you because it would be it would be entertaining. Is that you must be able to go into a restaurant and just sit down in the first few seconds, not minutes, seconds. You can probably tell me if it's profitable or not.
Is that true? Yeah, pretty much. I can definitely tell you things that are wrong. I can look at menus and right away tell you how much more money you could make if you approach the menu differently. Really? I can definitely take a look at your recipe costings, your profitability model, your P&Ls, and in half an hour tell you a bunch of things you could do to make a lot more money. But that's what I've done for 30 years, even before I started the 15 group. And that's what, I mean, that's what I'm good at, and that's what I've done. You know, what's that? Who is it that said, you know, 10,000? You got to do something 10,000 times for you to be an expert at it. I've pretty much done it 10,000 times. So
I'm trying that in the podcast space, David. I'm trying that.
Well, exactly. All right. Does it not get better and better every single time?
I learned through so many mistakes, right? That's how I learned, but. I find it fascinating because you said 3,700 square feet when you gave me your restaurant concept. I guarantee you probably figured out the that number based on that seat amount probably is very easy to make a profit at, or very much easier, let's say, to make a profit on that square footage.
It's a good It's a good size, right? But also, I mean, it depends what you want to do as well, right? I mean, you could knock it out of the park with a 7,000 square foot bigger space if you were in the right location and wanted to do something grander, just in terms of my comfort level. If I wanted to open a restaurant, I think that would be kind of what I would want.
Well, the risk factor probably gets lower when you get smaller. The risk.
Oh, sure. I mean, the cost, well, especially with construction costs and opening costs these days. Yeah. I mean, you got to be pretty conscious about return on investment and how much is going into it up front, right?
David, do you find the restaurants today, like in the old days, let's go back 30 years, 34 years ago, when one family would own a restaurant and that family would live, you know, very well, you know, a very good life, let's say. Does that exist anymore? Are we seeing more and more groups buy up restaurants where they have three or four or five different restaurants? They have additional concepts inside that. Do you see that independent individual family still, you know, being able to survive off of what we're seeing today?
I definitely can absolutely. If they do a great job. I mean, we've worked with a number of independents that can make great money. They have a solid business and they can succeed. What we find less though, that it's a family thing. And I think this is just a societal thing. Okay. You know, it's kind of like, I could be surprised, but even my company, the 15 group, like my kids have zero interest in it. Like, but I think we find that, right? I think we find, like, it used to be in society that, hey, you grew up in the family, you do what the family's doing, you be part of the family business.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's like that as much anymore. So we see more often, we see people who have independent restaurants. They start a restaurant, but then they want to open another, and then they want to open another, and they want to grow, and then they want to sell. And it's not so much a family thing. It's more of an individual entrepreneur thing, right?
One more question for you here as we wrap up tonight. But I have had a show just recently on with a 28-year-old restaurateur that has opened his 8th restaurant, 28 years old, 8th restaurant. He's going for a franchise model up to 200. Are you seeing, first of all, are you seeing younger people get
Canada?
No, in the States. He's down in the States. I'll give you the number. No, he's down in the States. He's incredible. It's a hot Nashville chicken concept. It's incredible. I did say come up to Canada, but he's primarily in the States right now, but he's 28 years old. Are you seeing the young generation still though, as you said, within your family, but are we still seeing younger restaurateurs get into this?
Definitely. We've had a number of young clients getting into it for sure. Nice. And I also think, there's, you know, at the end of the day, I think anyone can succeed if they've got that right passion and if they've got discipline. Like I've always said, you need discipline to run a restaurant because there are so many things going on. You want that elevated culture. You want execution. Like you need to have a disciplined, structured approach to things. And I don't think it really matters. You know, I've seen young people like that who are 28 and who operate a restaurant phenomenally and crush it. And I've seen people who are 35-year-old veterans in the industry who've been doing it for years that are absolutely horrible. And I could, because I don't think, I mean, obviously experience helps you with anything, but I think the way you are, the way you, your personality, the way you operate, whether you're disciplined or not, whether you're structured, whether you're a good leader, I mean, a lot of that stuff is an inherent personality trait, right? So I definitely, we see a lot of young people opening stuff and being successful at it. Yeah. That's a great story though. I'm going to have to dig that one up. That's wild.
He's 28. He had that, I don't know, the twinkle in his eye, but he had that momentum and that feel when I talked to him. And then his marketing guy was with him. Rich was his name. And the power and energy you felt from a 20-year-old, you know, looking for 200 and has 8 already. I asked him, I said, what's it going to look like in 20 years from now when you're 48? What's that going to look like? Right. And I love seeing people get into the industry. I encourage more and more people to get into the industry. I would say, can we please stop scaring them into coming? Let's have everyone join our industry, because we do need the concepts and ideas that a lot of these younger generations are bringing in that are fresh and innovative.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love the innovation. What's the most innovative restaurant right now that you've seen, David, blow our minds with something cool?
Oh God, you're throwing me another quick one. If I said a fried chicken concept, that wouldn't be very innovative.
No, it wouldn't. It's okay.
That wouldn't be great. You stumped me now. I haven't got anything.
I love the Brooklyn dumpling concept. I love that idea. I personally like the fact that we haven't seen that really explode in the way they've done it. They're doing their grab and go out of their cages and stuff like this. And they're out of New York. They're in Calgary now. I do see that as a really cool little innovative idea there that's doing very well. He's moved into retail as well. And I think there's some cool things there. That's my opinion. I'm seeing, yeah. I was just over at CPK the other day. We did a show with Naheed and the team over at California Pizza Kitchen. That concept, when they get going here in Canada, hopefully they're going to open more. In brilliant concept, David. A brilliant concept. I don't know if you've been to a CPK. Brilliant, vibrant.
No, I have been, but not up here. How many do they have up here now?
They just have one. They just have one in Edmonton here.
Okay.
Beautiful concept, though. Beautiful restaurant. Like, fresh menu. I think I had a chorizo hot honey pizza. It was to die for. And, yeah. You know, like a little bit of the old Earls and, you know, the old open fire, you know, the Forno oven style, you know, those kind of things, but very trendy. It was very, very light restaurant, very cozy and light, big massive patio, but definitely brings that California vibe up into Edmonton. And if you can do that, you can do anything. And so it's a really good concept, but I'm starting to hopefully see more like that. I like the bigger style restaurants. I'm not a huge, I like the small ones too. Don't get me wrong, but I just feel, cause that's where I worked in, was the bigger ones like the CPK up here. But, so you couldn't come up with one?
Not
one?
No, but you know what? See, I told you I'm not the concept guy. What we need to do is the next show. You got to get Alex.
Alex,
and he'll talk to you all day long about concepts. He'll tell you what the biggest thing in LA is right now. He'll talk to you about what's going on in Europe.
You know what we'll do is we'll have Alex on, because me and Dominic, which thanks again, Dominic, for grilling me today, is that we came up with a dollar dine concept. So we took on a show we did, we brought in some experts. We actually took the dollar store concept and rewrote a restaurant franchise model using the dollar store model. So everything was like $1 to $3 on the menu. And we actually were able to create it. And then we created a profit model, and we were actually going to make money. Still patented.
And it
dollar. We never built it.
But the concept worked. Reminds me of an old Saturday Night Live skit where they said, "Yeah, it's all about volume."
Exactly.
Right? The change guy. I'll make change for your $5 bill. I'll give you 5 ones.
We'll have to invite you back and see if that will work from your perspective. But I think our math was good. But I think we could do a dollar store, but I you know, like obviously volume and different things, you'd have to, you know, there's a lot of give and go in that model, but I would love to have Alex back. And I just want to thank you, David, for joining us tonight. Thank you for everyone that joined us on LinkedIn. We're going to have this up on our podcast channel. Like I said, it's not a podcast, but it hangs out with all the other podcasts that we have up on Spotify and Apple. But David, you are the best. I just love, because you're so professional. And the 15 group is so good at what you guys do. A lot of our legendary restaurants because of you guys. And I can't thank you enough for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'd love to come back. Certainly invite Alex back. That'll be a fun show. In fact, maybe have both of us on together, because when we get going back and forth, forget about it.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
And to everyone else, you know what? Thanks again for listening to us. I know we're the only late night restaurant show on this planet, let alone in North America. But you know what? We're going to bring more and more guests. Tomorrow night, we have the Golf Guru on at 9:30 Eastern Time. 7:30 Mountain Time. And thanks again. Thanks again, David. You're the best. And to everyone else, have a great evening. And go support our restaurants. They need it. Cheers.